Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today's episode of the HME Business podcast is sponsored by Care Inc. Care is a global manufacturer of oxygen equipment, and you can check them out at careinc.com. Today, we're talking about respiratory, the challenges of the clinical care team during COVID, and then also some of the lessons that will probably apply to the industry long after the world is done wrestling with this disease. And here to talk about it, we've got John Medina. He's an RRT and director of sales at oxygen equipment manufacturer Care. And then we also have David Lyman. He's an RRT as well, and he's the vice president of VGM Respiratory. And then in addition to their current positions, both of these guys have also been home medical equipment professionals themselves. And John had owned his own HME company for many years. Guys, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Morning.
Great. Good morning.
It's great to have you on board. I think this is a terrific topic, and you guys are just the people to talk about it. So let's dive in. COVID-19 forced a lot of changes when it comes to respiratory services. Maybe you could start by giving us an overview of the situation and how it developed during COVID and how the care environment changed, and how respiratory providers responded.
Yeah, well, Dave, I'll let you start on your end and then I'll join in. How's that?
Sure. You know, I think really what COVID has shown is that the respiratory services that DME providers do are tremendously valuable, and they will continue to be tremendously valuable as time goes on. But one of the challenges that providers had was the influx of patients. We really weren't sure, and we still aren't necessarily sure on how to treat these COVID patients long-term. A lot of challenges, supply chain, trying to get equipment, trying to get PPE, equipment and be safe for the employee and the patient and their families. So I think there's definitely many challenges that are happening at the same time with this pandemic. And I don't think we know necessarily how it's going to pan out, with the exception is that respiratory therapy is needed and it's going to continue to change and morph, maybe less physical visits and more televisits with these patients are needed. And I think we really need to follow how is COVID going to affect these patients long term.
Yeah. John, what's your take?
Yeah, I would agree with Dave. He's spot on. You know, it's interesting when we started, when we locked down, and if you guys remember, with everything locked down. And when that happened, our industry couldn't lock down. We were essential workers. We were, you know, called to take care of patients. But we didn't know what we didn't know, because initially we had patients going into the hospital, we had patients sick, and we were trying to manage through this. How do you manage that patient? Things changed. I remember getting on calls and saying, how do we help our respiratory therapists in the field now that, you know, we have this technology? Or is there a way we could maybe make life easy for them? Because we wanted to be contactless. We didn't want to bring the virus into the home. And remember that COVID is, you know, definitely a cardiopulmonary disease. It affects the heart and the lungs. Yeah. And so the what Dave's talking about, the stress on the hospital system was tremendous. And we didn't see those effects until maybe 90 days later, Dave. We didn't see the effects of all of those patients being discharged to months later. So from a respiratory standpoint, you're trying to take care of patients in the home, and then you're trying to go contactless. So we got creative. We had to, you know, watch how we were taking care of patients. PPE was a challenge, just trying to get enough masks and gowns, and how do you deliver, and do we drop it off UPS wise? There were so many things that we had to jump through to understand the challenges. And I think that today, a lot of that is changed into some really good sound advice that we'll cover as we go through the podcast. But I think it was a wake-up call for us in many instances where we were chasing ventilators and we found out we didn't need them. And today, you know, the raw materials to make, you know, the product and the back order of equipment still goes on. We're going on, you know, into 3 years and there's back orders.
Yeah.
So I think we've learned a lot from this, but from the challenges from an RT going into the home, remember, RTs are touching patients. They're listening to lungs. They're assessing them. They're educating them. Their job is to really help the patient with diet, nutrition, and medication. And that ties into, you know, being in the home and doing that. Well, that had to change because we couldn't do that. You couldn't go anymore.
So, and both you guys kind of made this point that this is an evolving situation. And, you know, as recently as January, it was reported that the Omicron variant represented 95% of COVID diagnoses in the United States. And, you know, obviously we've been going through different variants and they operate in different ways. You know, Delta, you know, had more severe outcomes, whereas Omicron, I think its big thing is that it's a lot more transmittable, and certainly the diagnoses charts that you look at, you know, on the daily newspaper or whatever, certainly speak to that. Is that you know, this evolution and also the current variant's dominance, is that changing how providers are dealing with this disease?
Yeah, I'll kind of jump in here first, John. Absolutely, David. It definitely is changing, and we know it's never going to go back to where it was before. And employers are trying to keep their staff safe. There's a lot of rapid tests happening. They're trying to encourage social distancing. There's still a lot of folks that are working from home, and I think that's going to continue. Now, obviously, the DME provider can't have everybody working from home because they've got folks that have to deliver equipment to patients. But I think that's going to evolve. I think a lot of that needs to be drop shipped. I think there's going to need to be better instruction. There's going to be need to be better tele health, so to speak, with these visits with these patients. And I think it's going to become even more important to talk about disease states, to talk about long-term effects of COVID on their cardiopulmonary system. And that's where the challenge comes from the DME providers, because there's no reimbursement for that. The reimbursement's all in the equipment. And that's where I think we need to continue to fight legislation to show the value of respiratory therapists and clinicians working with patients in their home.
And that legislation, are you thinking that's reimbursement legislation or something that's more respiratory specific?
You know, I wish I could say it would be respiratory reimbursement, but as AARC, et cetera, they're fighting, you know, for reimbursement for respiratory therapy services. It's been going on for years and years. And I don't never say never, but I think we have a better way of getting better reimbursement by working with legislation on better reimbursement for the equipment. I do believe that there should be reimbursement for managing that patient, but I think we will have a better chance in telling our story by getting an increased reimbursement for that equipment.
Got it. And John, do you have a take on this sort of evolving situation?
Yeah, I think Dave, again, brings out a couple solid points on the lack of reimbursement. And so in the industry, you know, oxygen was challenged by competitive bid. So, you know, reduced reimbursement affected the way we took care of patients.
Yeah.
Provider, if you want to stay in the business, you have to be very efficient. And so years ago, I would say that our marketing and tech team were ahead of in engineering, we're ahead of the curve. And we started looking at ways to be able to be more effective in the homes with those patients. So we do a lot of connectivity, Bluetooth. So today you can certainly be put on a stationary concentrator, a portable, transportable. And actually, the providers have access to those units because they could see how the health of the equipment's doing as well as the health of the patient, which goes back to the telemarketing of, you know, the telehealth of managing a patient. And why that's important is because of the challenges with reimbursement. Technology is increasing. We know today, because of COVID, costs are increasing substantially, 30%+. The challenge, though, is the reimbursement is not increasing, you know, respectively. So what do you have to do? We try to use technology to manage patients better. And that's also another challenge for the respiratory team and how they see the patient, how they follow up with the patient. One of the things we had to go back to in COVID, with COVID, is we learned that we have to be better as a manufacturer with giving access to patient education. so that if a technician has to drop the equipment off at the doorstep, and by the way, we were doing that initially. We had no choice. We couldn't go to the home. We didn't know what we were going to bring to the patient. So as we're dropping equipment off at the doorstep, then that patient needed education videos. They had to go on to links to be able to understand how to use the equipment, or maybe they went to the HME's website to be able to learn, or use other venues as YouTube and be able to go open up that concentrator and be able to set it up and have a family member help them.
Yeah.
Those are all effective ways of helping the patient have access to, you know, care as well as education to utilizing therapies and equipment. But the challenge still remains is, you know, reimbursement. You know, how do we get reimbursed for all this technology that's wonderful in keeping the patients out of the hospital, by the way? At the point, I believe, you know, we woke up, we kind of realized now that there is, you know, right now CMS is giving higher reimbursement for oxygen because they realize the importance, and it's short term. We have to be careful. We don't, you know, get too comfortable here, but we have to take a very positive approach of saying these are all the things that we're doing to help the industry. Therefore, reimbursement has to improve. It shouldn't decline.
You know, one thing that you guys mentioned a few times so far in your answers is telehealth. And I want to ask you some questions about that. So how has telehealth factored into respiratory services during COVID? You know, what was its purpose? In other words, was it mainly consultation? Was it also patient kind of monitoring? Because again, there was more acute care being provisioned to help hospitals empty up beds. Dave, why don't you start?
Yeah, so telehealth, it really started more, as you said, David, more consultative. It's really talking to the patient, instructing on the equipment. And I think it's evolved with some of the manufacturers that have, you know, some communicable Bluetooth capabilities that can have, you know, you could see the equipment real time and have those discussions with the patient. There's lots of other equipment out there. I think it can tremendously evolve. Again, if the reimbursement was there for other forms, it could be blood pressure cuffs, pulse oximeters, et cetera, to be able to monitor these patients long term.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's an evolution that needs to take place. And the DME providers are best posed to do that. And working with, you know, manufacturers that have invested in technology and put the research and development in, it's really, we're behind the times in the DME world or in medical, let's just say. And a lot of it's because of the reimbursement. You know, it costs a lot of money for the things that John and his company are doing to help provide better care for patients out there. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to, David, is giving better care. And we know we can do it in the DME world, in the home, and save healthcare dollars. We just got to continue to share our stories with the Congress and senators out there and let them at the grassroots level see what we do, see what we physically do and what we're trying to do. But it's getting very hard with supply chain, with reimbursement, and trying to find respiratory therapists, to be quite honest.
That's very true. So, and John, what's your take?
It's remarkable what we could do with technology.
Yeah.
So I think what Dave's saying is that your cost of equipment's going up.
Yeah.
To be able to hire and keep good respiratory therapists, service technicians, customer service, warehouse employees, billing, all the things necessary to run a efficient and effective business, you need to be able to utilize, all those costs are going up, and you have to hire and pay more to keep people, good people, and the reimbursement's going down. And again, going back to the studies that show that we save hundreds of millions of dollars a year by taking care of the patient at home, and they want to stay, you know, they want to stay at home. You know, they heal better at home. We save money at home, but yet the costs keep going up and reimbursement is going down. It just doesn't work. Doesn't make sense. So telehealth, you know, we looked at a platform years ago and honestly years ago, most recently, probably, you know, 3-4.5 years ago, we developed a platform with an app that allows us to Bluetooth our equipment. because we saw it coming. How do you take technology without, you know, increasing it to the point where the providers can't afford it, and be able to have that concentrator, that portable, so when the patient's away from the home, be able to communicate to our providers so they can see if there really is a problem with the equipment, so the therapist can look and say, no, this is problem is not the equipment. Equipment's working great. I'm looking at it right now through the portal, through the application that CARE has, and be able to then say, no, I think you need to call your doctor, or we need to get you to, you know, get to ER to be treated. So it gives more access without, you know, alarm fatigue, without irritation to the patient. So that technology is important to manage patients better today. Also remember that our COVID patients are going home. This is a whole new disease state for oxygen and for oxygen-related services, pulmonary-related services. So how am I going to take care of 30, 40% more oxygen patients when my costs are going up, I don't have enough FTEs, and I got to be able to provide equipment, which, by the way, globally is on back order. It is a real challenge. And so you have to be very effective and efficient at how you manage that patient when going home and make sure we're not overutilizing services, make sure I'm taking patients off of the services that they're currently getting because they no longer need them. So that concentrator sitting in the closet isn't doing any good.
Yeah.
Got to come out of the closet, get back home. Those are all the things as a manager of a business, an owner of a business, that you have to be extremely laser focused. Repairs on equipment too. We have to repair our equipment instead of cutting the cords and throwing them away because, you know, we used them for 5 years. And so we take advantage of all the tax ramifications and benefits. We got to put that back on the shelf and repair it because we don't have availability of equipment. Those are things as a provider you have to be aware of.
Based on that answer, I think I might know the answer to this this next question, but let me ask it anyway. What about frequency of telehealth visits? You know, how frequently are RTs and respiratory providers, you know, doing things like remote check-ins and consults with oxygen patients? And is that frequent enough right now, or should they be using, you know, telehealth more? And I guess that speaks to both COVID patients and other respiratory patients, like, you know, people who are on long-term oxygen therapy for disease states like COPD and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, each organization has their own policy of what their follow-up schedule is. Uh-huh. So necessarily know if there's a universal follow-up schedule, but I can say that with the use of telehealth, it would absolutely make it easier to be able to see these patients because there's a lot of cost. Again, as John keeps saying, as the reimbursement's going down, providers have to cut how often they're seeing patients. So I believe with the use of telehealth, that could increase and it could help patients be more compliant and understand their disease state, why they're using that equipment.
John, do you share that view?
Yeah, we do. In fact, in our actual program, in our telehealth application, we have the, you know, the capabilities of communicating with the patient, whether it's through text message or, you know, in the future having the ability to do the FaceTime telehealth. But more importantly, I think it's just so that they could manage their disease state, having the ability to, you know, go to educational videos so they understand that the best way to use their equipment is outstanding. I think those are the things that if we want to manage better, we have to have that patient educated more. So to Dave's point, your follow-up schedules is, you know, could be hundreds of patients. But if I educate and manage them better and give them technology so that the technology helps them when they have questions, then the phone calls that are being done, whether you're calling the patient or the patient's calling you, those phone calls are necessary. And they're the important patients. Those are the high acuity patients that we should be calling and following, not the ones that say, you know, I keep getting this, you know, alarm that tells me that my you know, I'm getting this beep because my portable oxygen concentrator is impulsing. Well, they down, you know, they go right on the app and say, oh, if you're not taking a deep breath through your nose, your machine's not going to sense your pulse, and so I'll give you an oxygen breath. So therefore, your alarm is because you're not, you know, your cannula is not set properly, or you're not taking a breath properly. So those things eliminate calls. It allows our respiratory therapist team and our, you know, the acuity team to be able to call the patient that needs, you know, that that really attention.
COVID obviously dominates our lives right now. But at the same time, all these different chronic disease states haven't gone away. So during this whole time, have the other patients out there, you know, in the oxygen care world, people with COPD, that, you know, home vent patients, all those sorts of folks, have they been getting the right care?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, David. You know, I think there could be a question of a lot of these patients didn't go to the ER or they didn't go see the doctor because of COVID. Yeah. So I think they're probably struggling a little bit more because of this and maybe not getting the care that they needed because COVID was, the acute, what everybody's trying to fix and take care of at the moment. So I truly believe that, yeah, there has been some struggles with these existing patients or patients that were coming into, you know, the next stage in their disease state that they need more equipment or services to be able to better manage that.
John, what's your thought?
Yeah, it's a concern. Being a respiratory therapist, I'm concerned. I'm concerned on many fronts. And the first front is access to equipment. The thousands of backordered equipment, from cylinders. Dave and I talked about a week ago. We're seeing challenges with our providers buying cylinders. So therefore, they're trying to go to what we call a kind of non-delivery system where they have a stationary concentrator in the home and a portable. Mm. And so while that then increases demand of those types of equipment, right now, as you guys know, we're dealing with a chip shortage. And so does the chip go to the medical devices, which you would hope, or do they go to making automobiles? Those are real life, challenges right now. So equipment availability for my long-term oxygen patient is a challenge. Those patients need to get out. They need to ambulate. They put that portable on and go. So lightweight, the technology that they love to use. If a system breaks down today and it's a portable system, and Dave can attest to it, I'm not sure how long it's going to take for that patient to get a replacement or get it repaired because everything's on back order. So the long-term oxygen COPD patient is certainly a struggle, which then goes back to the COVID patient. What do you do with them? I had one provider say, John, I have to limit the COVID patients because I'm not sure how many months I'm going to have them, but I have all these COPD patients out here that need these services. And so how do I know these are lifers? These people are going to be on it for life. Not that severe COVID patients aren't going to be on oxygen for life. It's a tough decision as a provider. What did they do?
Let's think about that. From an operational standpoint, how do providers handle this balancing act of serving COVID patients while also serving traditional oxygen patients?
At this point in time, David, it's really a balancing act. It's kind of like John said, there's some companies, they're having to collaborate with their competitors and work more closely with these, COVID patients. They can't take them on. It's a challenge. Companies are reaching out to John and to myself and others. What can I do? How can I do things differently? So I think they're changing their model of how they're providing services for patients. So it's a challenge right now, but I think the DME industry is strong enough that we're working through it. We're trying to figure it out. We're a pretty tight industry. Some don't want to believe that, but we are, and we're very important, and we're going to be tremendously important moving forward. So I think it's more of the collaboration. Nobody has that secret sauce, right? It's let's share best practices. Let's work together as a team and get through this supply chain challenge, this pandemic, et cetera.
Your point is well taken that everybody, I think it really is true of this industry that everybody kind of pulls together. John, what's your view? How do providers, serve both the traditional oxygen patients and the COVID patients?
It comes back to your acuity level. So, the severe patients need that attention and how do you service that patient? So, And that's the challenge. So could you use a stationary concentrator and a portable oxygen concentrator to help them where maybe you don't have the access to giving them refilled cylinders? And I think when you talk about the industry and all the backorder products and raw materials that we're struggling with, The balancing act comes down to, you know, your population of patients currently. And so a lot of providers are what they're doing today is picking up the phone and calling patients. You know, they're going through every oxygen patient to see if they still need those products. And so where one patient may be just a nocturnal user, but at one time they needed the portable, but they're no longer doing that. You're having a conversation with that patient and saying, okay, we're going to pick up that portable. And this way you get your resources back to be able to use them on patients that need them. That's one way we see it. Repairs, you know, where before you knew that you had a timeline on a certain concentrator, you cut the cord and threw it away. You don't do that today because you don't have resources. And so while you're still waiting for parts and pieces, you know, the repairs are something that have to be done on these and good service programs. So while we could use technology to monitor the health of the equipment, you also have to have, you know, good programs in place so that equipment lasts longer out in the field. I think that's important. When you look at, you know, us as a manufacturer, you know, we have to be responsible enough to build quality equipment to make sure that it's lasting out there as long as it can. And CARE has always provided that, you know, as an engineering manufacturing company, we prided ourselves in the CARE quality that has been known for the years. But that is important. So as a company, you have to look at several programs because there's just not a lot of resources to go around. And I think that's the key is being smart of how you repair your equipment, manage the equipment. You have to be smart about what patients have equipment they no longer need. And then you have to partner with your manufacturer to say, okay, here's my world that I'm living in. Mm-hmm. This is the amount of patients that I'm taking home. And how can we help you, even if it's a little bit of, you know, all these back orders, if we could share and give them a little bit of equipment to relieve some of that stress. That's how we work with them. I'm constantly, and Dave can tell you, because he's doing it too. We're constantly on the phone talking to all our referrals to make sure that we are able to provide enough to get them through that hump. And when there's a challenge and they have an emergency, we're running. We're helping that person out. So that person may need help today and the other one may be okay. So it's collaboration in a big way, constantly, daily. Doesn't stop.
Okay, let's wrap things up with this interview with a question about the future. I'm curious, how do you guys think the way that not just the HME industry, but U.S. healthcare on the whole, the way that we care for oxygen patients will change over time because of COVID? These learning curves that we've gone through, you know, which ones are going to stick and you know, what is going to be the lasting impact of this experience?
Yeah, I think really what's going to really stick is providers have to really be nimble and be able to be creative on what type of systems their patients are getting. So It's not just one. They're going to have build a formulary or build some type of a policy and these types of patients get this. And I think it's really getting back to what we used to do in the old days is really getting more clinical with these patients, building care plans, understanding what their needs are. So getting deeper with these patients, because we don't know the long-term effects of COVID, number one. Yeah. We know COPD isn't going away, unfortunately. So the need for oxygen is going to continue to grow over the years. I think what DMEs and clinicians are smarter on is telehealth, I think, is here to stay. I think we're going to have some more communication with these patients. And it's much more effective, I believe, than just a phone call, because you can see their expression. Yeah. Right? You can see their environment. And it's more personable. It's really having those conversations about their disease state and about the equipment. So I think it's definitely going to evolve. I think with, you know, the continued, you know, growth of new technology and systems out there, it's going to change. I think the old days of delivering cylinders to everybody is really the old days. I think you've got to use technology and use portable oxygen concentrators to evolve for these patients.
John, do you see similar or perhaps some other learning curves?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest learning curve of that we recognize is, I think, the production of products in this country. So I think that, you know, having chip manufacturers in this country will definitely and greatly improve our access to technology and getting equipment out. I think we've learned that as a country that we need to build more here, and that's the good news. You know, I think from our standpoint, we've partnered with the government, meaning that when there's challenges, you know, we build in Bald Ground, Georgia. So when there was challenges, we were very vocal with our local legislators. We were very vocal to make sure that we could provide, you know, the necessary equipment to patients. I said, so I think the curve is keeping in that kind of communications. I think we learned from our challenges. When COVID hit in that first year, we thought it was going to go away. It never did. So we learned that, you know, everybody said, oh, the market. We thought the market was going to be saturated. Oh, they were going to have all this equipment. Guess what? Never did. Year two came and things got worse.
Yeah.
Orders got worse. And so I think today in year three, I think today we've learned so much from it that we know that COVID's not going away. Years from now, patients are probably going to still be on oxygen because of the long-term effects of COVID pneumonia and the laceration of the lung and the effects of that. Those patients will learn from. I think oxygen is grown because of that. But I think the most important thing is what Dave said, is that CMS on the Hill, our legislators, learned that you killed an industry that was so necessary to take care of a pandemic. And today, now we're scrambling to make sure that patients are being taken care of. And I think the biggest takeaway from this is we have to build infrastructure from a government standpoint, reimbursement, to help patients at home. And don't give up on that. And we have to be smart enough when it comes to reimbursement of necessary equipment, essential equipment that allows us to make sure that when pandemics hit or just COPD continues, because it's not going anywhere, that we have the reimbursement and the availability to take care of patients the way they need to, which in the end saves money. I think that's the biggest takeaway, is how we care for patients and the reimbursement of those patients in the home. And I think if we could continue to work with our legislators, that this will be a win in helping patients get better care down the road.
Well, guys, it's been a fascinating discussion, and I really hope that the industry does evolve, and healthcare as a whole sort of evolves in the directions you guys mentioned, because I think it's where sanity lives, that's for sure, particularly with reimbursement for respiratory. So, guys, if people want to find out more, why don't we get some links out to them? Dave, I'll have you go first. If somebody wants to learn more about VGM Respiratory, where should they go?
Yeah, the best way is to reach out to me at dave.lyman@vgm.com.
Again, okay.
dave.lyman@vgm.com.
All righty. And John, what about care?
Well, we have a wonderful website. I would encourage everybody to, you know, head to the Care Inc. .com website. It's very informative. It has educational videos on it. It's just a great access to information related to oxygen services. So I would encourage everybody to head to that website, our care website. And certainly anybody is more welcome to email me with questions regarding what we talked about today or some thoughts and ideas to john.medina@careinc.com.
Okay, I think we'll wrap up today's episode. Thanks again to Dave and John for joining the podcast. And thanks again to CARE for sponsoring this episode. Again, you can check out CARE at careinc.com. Before I sign off, I have one question. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then do me a favor. Please take a quick second to rate and review this episode. And also, please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. And there you can subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. well. And in fact, you can get that as a digital edition if you prefer to read things on your iPad and save a tree. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on all the social media services, and I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email. My email address is D as in David, K-O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105 Media. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like the state of respiratory care. And I am sure, to John's point, we will loop back in 6 months to talk about where we stand. But for now, goodbye until the next HME Business podcast.